LINGthem.com. The message of his kingdom.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, I would just comment that the advertisements that are heard on this program are not necessarily mine. I have not investigated them, anything about them, so other than those where you'll hear me talking. So right now, of course, I want to get back to our special guest this afternoon, William Grigg, talking about the government confiscation of the Liberty dollars and the money and the other things that had been perfectly legally put together by these people who are certainly all looking for an alternative means of paying bills and certainly creating a gold-backed currency. So, William, certainly, did the government come in on what under what auspices did they come in? Has the people who owned the property there had an opportunity to take this case to court before the government started disposing of their assets without justification? Have any charges been brought against these people?
No, there have been no criminal charges filed against them. There was a civil action filed just yesterday, a forfeiture suit. And that, of course, is the process through which the government prosecutes some item of property or some amount of money that it wants to steal from somebody. They call it civil asset forfeiture. Of course, it's nothing other than unadorned theft. What happens is that when a person is found, for instance, traveling along one of the highways of our country with a large amount of cash, and if he happens to be stopped for a speeding violation or some other form of traffic infraction, if the law enforcement officer who commits the traffic stop finds that the person is carrying a substantial amount of cash, then usually the police officer will confiscate the cash and then take it into the custody of his police or sheriff's department. And then at some point, a prosecutor, usually a federal prosecutor, will begin a civil action against the property. This is called the in rem, or against the thing principle. That's Latin, in rem, for against the thing. They prosecute the property, and then they forfeit the property to the government, and it is a situation which the burden of proof reposes upon the victim here, the victim of the theft, to prove that the money in question wasn't connected to drug trafficking or some other kind of illicit activity. Just a couple of years ago, there was a federal court ruling, I believe, emerging out of a case in Nebraska, in which a Hispanic worker had surrendered at gunpoint a rather large sum of money. I believe it was over $150,000. And he was never charged with a crime. He was never obviously prosecuted for a crime. There was no due process involved in the seizure of his money. But it was described as the likely proceeds of drug trafficking. This individual said that it was the money that belonged to his family that they had collected and saved through their own efforts, their own legal efforts to make a living. And the federal court ruled that the very existence of a large sum of money on the person or in the automobile of somebody who is traveling along a United States interstate is sufficient probable cause to believe that the money was somehow the proceeds of narcotics trafficking. And so on that basis, they simply confiscated the money, and because most people who are in a situation of this sort don't have the means, the financial means, to mount a successful legal action to prove their innocence, they lose their money or they lose a substantial portion thereof. What's really corrupt about this, apart from the fact that it's brazen, unalloyed theft, is the fact that a U.S. attorney will often try to buy off somebody who's in a situation like this, buy off the victim of the theft by offering him some portion of his money back if it just shut up and go away. Often they'll offer half the amount or a portion of it, you know, maybe half, maybe a third, on the assumption that it would cost more to hire an attorney and to go through the legal hassle of getting your money back, getting your property back. And the same thing applies when you're talking about cars that are seized or homes that are seized. Anything that somebody owns can be forfeited in this way. And almost without exception, you're dealing with people who were never accused of a crime, much less indicted or prosecuted or convicted of a crime. And I've long maintained that if we simply abolished the whole process of civil forfeiture, a lot of this problem would go away. Criminal forfeiture is a different issue. If somebody is actually convicted of a crime, if somebody has gone through the due process of a court of law and been convicted on the preponderance of evidence of a crime, then if you can verify that a given piece of property or a given quantity of money is the proceeds of a criminal action, then confiscate the property as the product of a crime that's been proven in a court of law. That's criminal forfeiture. That's been around for a long, long time. It's perfectly legitimate. Civil forfeiture is utterly spurious. It's institutionalized theft, and it's one of the ways that a lot of law enforcement departments in this country, particularly in Texas, which abuts the Mexico border, and in some parts of California that also border on Mexico, a lot of law enforcement departments are funding themselves through asset forfeiture. They will simply set up speed traps along some of the major traffic arteries that are north-south routes that are used for people traveling to and from Mexico. And that, of course, includes drug money couriers and drug couriers and people who are involved in legitimate commerce. They'll set up along these routes, and every traffic stop is looked upon as a possibility for forfeiture. There are very small cities along some of these highways in Texas, very small in terms of population, very small in terms of their budget. Their economies aren't doing well, but their police departments are prospering because they are plundering people, some of them no doubt involved in drug trafficking, most of them not, but all of them innocent as far as the law is concerned, in order to pad their budgets. And so they're able to go out and buy high-performance military assets like armored vehicles for their SWAT teams and assault rifles and other high-end weaponry for their SWAT operators, and buy new vehicles, whole fleets of vehicles for their regular police patrol officers, and do all kinds of things that other larger departments can't afford to do because they're not geographically situated in such a way that they can take advantage of asset forfeiture. Well, all of this, I think, is relevant to the discussion of what's going on with the Liberty Dollar Organization, because nobody involved in the Liberty Dollar Organization or in NORFED, the National Organization for the Repeal of the Federal Reserve and Internal Revenue Codes, that's the sponsoring organization of Liberty Dollar, has been accused of a crime. There's been talk that they're involved in forgery because they create very beautifully made, exquisitely minted coins out of gold, silver, and platinum, as well as the copper coins I'd mentioned that are obviously less expensive, and they're used in private barter transactions. And because they're actually making use of constitutional money, there's only one type of money authorized by the Constitution, that's gold and silver. They're being accused of forgery by the people who run this entirely spurious fiat money financial system that the Federal Reserve dominates and that the government is party to. And this is something I learned a couple of years ago when I actually interviewed some officials with the Mint, the U.S. Mint, who told me that it was a form of forgery to be using gold and silver to conduct mutually agreed upon private transactions. And, of course, in order to purchase these gold, silver, platinum, and copper medallions, they're legally prohibited from calling them coins, which I think is immensely foolish. People, of course, surrender their Federal Reserve notes in quantities specified at a mutually agreed-upon price. I happen to think that the Liberty Dollar has always been overpriced relative to the market and recent performance. But if people go into these transactions fully informed, it's a case of caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. And as far as I'm concerned, given that the innate value of the Federal Reserve note and the coinage put out by the regime is zero, if you pay any amount of Federal Reserve notes in exchange for gold or silver coins, you're getting something for nothing. What happened about 8 months ago, November of last year, was that the FBI and the Secret Service, acting on behalf of the Treasury Department and that entity that calls itself the Justice Department, filed a seizure affidavit citing political reasons for taking the assets of the Liberty Dollar Organization, both in its Evansville, Indiana headquarters, and also the affiliates across the nation that are involved in this program. And the affidavit, which was filed by an FBI special agent by the name of, I believe it's pronounced Romagnulo, according to the seizure affidavit, the reason justifying the confiscation of the assets of the Liberty Dollar Organization was the following. As the organization's name implies, the goal of NORFED is to undermine the United States government's financial systems by the issuance of a non-governmental competing currency for the purpose of repealing the Federal Reserve and the Internal Revenue Code. Now, the question I have, actually it's a multi-part question. First of all, is it impermissible to pursue the repeal of the Internal Revenue Service Code and the abolition of the IRS and the eradication of the Federal Reserve? Is it criminal in se, as such, to pursue that objective? Is it criminal to circulate within a private community of fully informed buyers and sellers gold and silver medallions as a form of barter? Is barter illegal? is it illegal to barter with the objective of helping to bring about the abolition of the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS code, the tax code, and the Federal Reserve? What part of this is a crime? Well, no part of this is a crime, unless they're criminalizing a desire to return to our constitutional money system, which I believe they want to do, but they're not brazen enough to say so, at least not yet. What they did when they seized these assets in November was they ventilated to the press and through the press a number of perfectly phony stories to the effect that these people were ripping people off, that they were taking these gold and silver coins and also the storage notes, the transmissible storage notes that were storage receipts for money that was being held in escrow at various sites, including the Sunshine Mint here in northern Idaho, that they were taking these and forcing them upon uninformed merchants and businessmen, which of course is not true. What happened is the people who were part of the system were accepting them in exchange for goods and services. There's no force and fraud involved in this in any way. But the federal government, of course, is composed of the type of people who are very economical, let us say, in telling the truth. And so they were happy to cultivate this misunderstanding with the public that these people were seeking to undermine our economy and they were using fraudulent means to do so. Well, of course, you can't really undermine an economy that's based on fraud to begin with. Our economy is undermining itself. It's collapsing beneath the weight of its own absurdity, its own accumulated debt. Since August of 1971, the only thing that has backed the dollar has been force and fraud, which is grandly styled the full faith and credit of the United States government. And after several decades of persistent fraud backed by the political assistance of primarily of the Saudi regime in accepting fiat dollars in exchange for petroleum, this system is coming to an end. There's just no way of getting around it. I heard Jim Rogers, the noted, very successful free market-oriented investment specialist, say that the Federal Reserve is probably going to be gone in 5 years at the rate that the system's collapsing.
Hold that thought, William. We'll be right back here in just a moment with William Grigg talking about first the collapse of the dollar.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Warning! The EPA states indoor air pollution is the number one health problem today, causing 50% of all illnesses. Go to germfree33.com. Technology developed for NASA is now available to protect your family and health. Laboratory proven to eliminate 99.9% of deadly MRSA, black mold, E. coli, bird flu, and more from all surfaces. germfree33.com. Remove pollen, mold, pet dander, dust mites, and more from the air. germfree33.com. World's best air purifiers. Nothing else compares. germfree33.com. No expensive filters to replace. Covers 3,000 square feet. See the proof at germfree33.com. Order from our secure website. Credit cards accepted. Order by phone 800-492-1073. Payment plans available. 800-492-1073. germfree33.com. The world's best air purifiers.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is William Grigg, and we're talking about the idea that the government is going to go after anybody who competes with them. The government has a fraudulent currency. Certainly the American people never wanted the Federal Reserve System. The American people never wanted the income tax. We've been lied to repeatedly by those people who really rule us. They were able to sneak through the 16th Amendment. It was never legally ratified, but that really didn't matter. They don't care about law. They are concerned about power, and now they're going to use that power to go after anybody who, of course, opposes them, and specifically the people who are turning out the Liberty Dollar. But, of course, as William says, you know, if you look and see what's happening, the whole economic system of our country is beginning to unravel. Our money is losing value rapidly, and of course, once the rest of the countries of the world repudiate the dollar as the reserve currency of the world, billions, countless trillions of dollars are going to flow back into this country and destroy the value of the life savings of most of our citizens, and most of them have no idea what's going on. So pick up the story there, William.
That pretty much summarizes it in terms of the economic consequences of what's been going on for the last several decades and the trends that we're seeing right now. Before the break, I'd mentioned what Jim Rogers, the legendary investment guru, said in a recent interview. He's moved to Singapore, which is perhaps the least authoritarian of the options available in that part of Asia, although it is a rather authoritarian city-state. I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable living there. Very orderly, very clean little society. It's a very small little polity that exists independent of everybody else, but I don't really see myself living in a place where you can find yourself facing fines or imprisonment for chewing gum in public. But he's moved there because he believes that on account of the cultivated corruption of our system and the deliberate undermining of our economy through the issuance of fiat currency for decades, the United States has pretty much destroyed its economic ascendancy, and that Asia is the wave of the future. He was talking about teaching his children to write and speak Mandarin, which is something, of course, I have no interest in doing. I want my children, if they are interested, to study foreign languages, but not because they're simply expecting that the Chinese are going to be running the world in the future. Well, that's a possibility on account of what's happened to our country through this corrupt and fraudulent financial system we're talking about. But Jim Rogers was saying that notwithstanding the best efforts being made by the people who run the Federal Reserve, the economic logic of the situation is such that within the next 5 or 10 years, the Federal Reserve, at least as we know it, is no longer going to exist. That's not to say that it'd be replaced necessarily by something better. It's just that you can only maintain a fraud for so long before it collapses beneath the accumulated corruption of the system. That's what happened, of course, to Rome when they destroyed their currency. It took them over half a millennium to do so. It's taken the Federal Reserve a little less than a century to do so to the dollar. But the Liberty Dollar people were putting out a worthwhile product. It was putting out these 0.999 or higher purity gold, silver, platinum medallions. and they would store these in escrow for people who wanted to use circulatable within the system. This is an entirely, if you will, endogamous system here. They would be able to use transmissible storage receipts as currency among those who are part of the system, or they could simply use the gold, silver, and platinum as they saw fit to conduct business transactions for agreed-upon goods and services. And so what they're doing is they were creating a barter system within a system, this larger economy, that is based on fraud. And by virtue of having something that competed on better than equal terms with the official system, the Liberty Dollar organization brought down upon their heads the wrath of the people that are maintaining the fraudulent financial system in which we're imprisoned. It's pretty much the same logic you see anytime somebody creates a purely collectivist system, whether you're talking about the Soviet Union or Communist China, Communist Korea, Communist Cuba, or even Jacobin France back in the 1790s during the French Revolution. Anytime there's a purely collectivist society that is set up, they always talk about how they're creating something new that will enrich the lives of those who are part of that system, that their intention is to bring about a peaceful revolution in human affairs. And every time they set up a society based on enforced authoritarian or totalitarian collectivism, the results are the same. They end up with an economic collapse, they end up with famine, they end up with hardship and tumult and chaos. This is always blamed on the existence of competing social systems, whether they're the monarchies that existed in the late 18th century against which the revolutionary French declared war, the Jacobin Illuminist government in France immediately declared war on the other monarchies, because as long as another competing system existed that performed better than their collectivist experiment, their experiment would never succeed. The same thing happened, of course, with every communist regime that we have record of. They immediately become hostile and aggressive because they have to destroy competing economic and social systems.
I want you to hold that thought right there. I want you to hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment right here at the Genesis Radio Network, and our guest, of course, is William Greig.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? TiboTech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, TiboTech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The TiboTech Essentials package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of TiboTech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TiboTech.com. That's TiboTech.com.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Once, America was led by real politicians. Now politicians in the U.S., city, county, state, and federal, are owned and controlled by corporations. We have corporate representatives instead of politicians. Criminal corporate manipulation has caused grain prices to soar to the highest levels in history. Shortages of rice, corn, and wheat now exist in most countries. Natural disasters have put millions worldwide at risk of starvation. Food riots and bread lines occur daily in 30 nations, and not only is that list growing, but it's headed this way. Survival Enterprises are master distributors of the highest quality long-term storage foods. Mountain House freeze-dried foods, canned beef, chicken, turkey, butter, bacon, spices, cheese, fruit, and more. We have tons of food in stock now. Call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us, where you'll find what you'll need to keep you and your loved ones secure. And remember, those without food will be servants of those with the food. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is William Grieg. And William, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get to your blog spot?
Sure. My blog is entitled Pro Libertate. That's a Latin phrase. It means for freedom. I try to publish between 3 and 5 times a week, depending upon my schedule. The easiest way to find it, apart from Googling the phrase Pro Libertate, which I believe would probably turn up as the first or one of the first 5 or 6 hits my blog, would be to go to the homepage of the Welch Foundation, which is called The Right Source. And the web address for The Right Source is really easy to remember, rightsourceonline.com. Once again, that's rightsourceonline.com. That's one word. And you go to The Right Source, you'll be able to get access to my blog. But at the top of the page of the homepage there, The Right Source, there's a banner ad for my new book, which is called Liberty in Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. That's available through The Right Source. It's also available through Radio Liberty and also for sale through Amazon.com. If you go to rightsourceonline.com and then scroll down about a third of the way down the page and look at the left-hand side of the screen, you'll find my photograph. And there's a hyperlink there which will take you to Pro Libertate. And I try to publish, once again, between 3 and 5 times a week. The purpose of my blog is not to be what Larry King used to call a three-dot column, which would be a series of random, brief observations separated by ellipses. That's what Larry King used to do in his either famous or notorious USA Today column. I prefer the latter description, quite frankly. Most blogs are that way. They're brief reflections or brief descriptions of one's experiences of a given day. A weblog is like a diary. Mine's intended to be sort of an ongoing exercise in what I call investigative polemics. I don't disguise my point of view. I'm an individualist, a constitutionalist. Most importantly, I'm a Christian. I try to assess everything that goes on in the political realm by measuring it against God's law. And I believe that God's law is, as the Epistle of St. James put it, the perfect law of liberty. And so the coordinates that I apply have to do with what is right according to God's law and what is just according to the individual rights that God has invested in us. And that's how I assess what our government does. And by government, I'm referring not only to the federal government, but also to its appendages. We used to have a republic, smaller republic, that was federated in nature, where the states had the preponderant influence when it came to political affairs, and the subdivisions of the states, the counties and the cities, the villages, were much more important in the daily lives of people than what the federal government ordained. Well, since 1865 or 1913 or 1933 or 1965, pick a date or pick any combination of those, the federal government has usurped the role of what had been its creators, the independent states. And now the states are simply administrative units of the federal government. The counties and cities, municipalities, village governments, and so forth, are all satellites of this centralized unitary system that once was a federated republic. And the book that I just published, Liberty in Eclipse, talks about the fact that now we have an overtly militarized and centralized law enforcement system that is based on the concept of homeland security. And homeland security is not about protecting the citizens from the violence of the lawless. It's about protecting a certain political order. And that order is not the republic that our Constitution ordained. That order is one that's corporatist in nature. You have an entrenched elite that considers its interest to be paramount. Maintaining a political order that is suitable to their interests is the job of the Homeland Security Department. It's not protecting our citizens from terrorism or the type of criminal violence that is pretty much an ineradicable part of human nature, pending the Lord's return, of course. It's an order that is beneficial to a politically favored few. And that's where the Liberty Dollar story, I think, really illustrates the corrupt nature and the fundamentally criminal nature of the government that rules us. They were doing no harm to anybody, but they were creating a system within a larger system that was incompatible with the prevailing fraud. I'd mentioned how, historically, every time a collective estate is created, it becomes an aggressive threat to any contending political order. If it were possible for communists or collectivists simply to go off into the wilderness and pursue their collectivist experiments at strict reserve from the rest of humanity, that would be perfectly fine with me. I don't believe that the existence of a commune or a kibbutz or another kind of insular, remote collectivist experiment is a bad thing, as long as they keep it to themselves and don't try to drag the rest of us into it. But what happens, inevitably, is that people who have grand designs for reordering humanity closer to their heart's desire want to destroy any competing political or economic system that would be more efficient and conduce to greater human happiness and efficiency and progress. And the same thing's happening here, sort of in reverse. We have this huge deteriorating corporatist correct collectivist system that is this fraudulent Federal Reserve dominated economy. And within it you have this little group of people who are isolated and self-selected, who are trying to run a barter system based on the principle of sound money, hard money, constitutionally authorized currency, gold and silver, in a way that's mutually beneficial to them that affects nobody else. And because it is a competing system, the federal government now, in complete defiance of the laws that are in existence still, the Constitution and the statutory laws, have simply stolen the assets of the Liberty Dollar Organization and NorFed, and thousands of people, including some friends of mine who had actually ordered gold and silver and copper coins from Liberty Dollar, and they are prosecuting that property and they're going to forfeit it to themselves. This is vulgar, undisguised theft.
Well, now, Chris, aren't the people who are involved going to bring a countersuit against the government?
Well, that's why I believe the federal government decided to accelerate his timetable. I believe that they wanted to find some way of pursuing an actual criminal prosecution of the people who were involved in the Liberty Dollar Organization. But failing that, what I think forced the hand of the federal government is the fact that here in Idaho and a number of other places nationwide, there are class action suits that have been filed against the Treasury Department and the people who carried out the confiscations last November, because there had been no civil or criminal charges filed. And so, rather than filing civil or criminal charges, and I believe that they would have preferred to take the latter route, I think they want to put some people in jail, the feds do, they filed this forfeiture motion on the assumption that by doing so, they'd be able to checkmate the people who are filing these lawsuits, because they'd simply put them in a position where it would be financially untenable to protect their interests in court. So I do believe that it was the fact that just last week the announcement was made that there were going to be these class action suits filed across the country, that more or less compelled the federal government to run up its timetable and simply to steal the money through forfeiture. If you take a look at the actual filing, it's a ridiculous thing, typically so, of what happens in civil forfeiture. The caption of the civil action is the United States of America plaintiff versus, and then it lists more than a dozen separate entries of gold, silver, copper coins. I mean, the United States of America plaintiff versus 3,039.375 pounds of copper coins, 59,030.32 troy ounces of silver coins, 63.24 troy ounces of gold coins, 3 platinum coins, 168,599 silver troy ounce coins, 147 gold troy ounce coins. It goes on like that. These various entries, these various increments of gold, silver, and platinum that had been stolen last November, they're all being sued by the federal government. And the last entry is, and $254,424.09 in the United States currency, defendants. So the property they sold now is being described as the defendants in the lawsuit that is being brought against that stolen property by the people who stole it. That's how civil asset forfeiture works.
But now, can't the people go to court and challenge this whole process and accuse the government of thievery?
Sure, that happens. But what happens every time somebody challenges an asset forfeiture motion, you have to prove that your assets that were stolen by the government had no connection to any kind of criminal activity. And in this case, it's almost impossible for them to... Well, first of all, it's generally difficult, if not impossible, to prove a negative, which is why in a free society, the prosecution has to prove its case. The defense doesn't. You have to be proven guilty or presumed innocent until proven guilty. The burden of proof here is reversed in the world of civil asset forfeiture. But in this case, it's even worse because there has not been a claim made by the federal government that the Liberty Dollar Organization or NorFed was involved in criminal activity.
Well,
so, given that there's no claim, how do you prove your innocence when they haven't even made a claim of criminal activity?
Well, of course, according to the Constitution, if there's a civil action, you know, that exceeds $20, well, you have the right to a trial by jury.
Yeah, and that's,
so
of
you could have you could demand a jury trial for the money, and then of course the people could speak in representing the money.
Yeah. That's what the people who brought that lawsuit last week were hoping, is that they'd be able to get into a civil court of law with a jury trial. What's going to happen is that through all the manifold means of stalling and dissimulation, you're going to find that the federal government is going to protract this as long as possible, so as to run up the billable hours for the lawyers who are representing the victims here. That happens every single time. There are people who've got this down to a science, and if and when it will be tried in what venue? It'll be tried in federal court. And that's a very inhospitable place for people who are not part of the federal system. The federal court system, the federal juries, tend to be extraordinarily deferential to federal prosecutors. And so I think the same deference would probably apply here, where the federal government is the plaintiff in this action. But I think what's going to happen is that the people who are pursuing this action, the people who are the victims here, who hadn't been informed, by the way, as of yesterday, that this forfeiture action had been undertaken, they're going to be offered some kind of a deal. They're going to be offered the promise of some insignificant fraction of what was stolen from them in exchange for dropping the matter. And this, of course, at a time when the assets that were stolen from them are radically appreciating in value. This is not a static equation here. If you had, let's say, 100 ounces of gold or 100 ounces of silver and, say, 10 ounces of gold stolen from you last November, the value of that has gone up dramatically in relative terms, meaning the value of the dollar has gone down that dramatically. The value of the gold and silver has remained static. But while these people are going to be trying to maintain enough financial stability to pursue their interests in court, the value of the assets stolen from them will go up, the billable hours that are being charged to them will be going up, and at some point they're going to be given an offer that the federal government thinks these people won't be able to turn down. That's how this works almost every time.
Well, let's hope and pray that justice will prevail. I don't know whether it will or not, but I'll tell you, if I was going to have a trial, I'd sure like to have it in Idaho.
Is that you bet. Right?
Because there are a lot of good common sense people up there, and time after time, in fact, we even saw this case over in Nevada recently, where some fellow was indicted for paying his employees with gold and silver coins minted by the United States government. And after, you know, months of a trial, the jury exonerated the people on 166 federal, you know, indictments. They threw them all out. Not one word in the controlled media about that case.
Yeah, if you want to go to federal court, either Idaho or Nevada would be a good place, because there is a history both in Idaho and Nevada of contrarian, common-sense-minded people ending up on federal juries. Generally speaking, they try to weed people like that out of the federal jury pool, but every once in a while, despite the best efforts of the the practitioners of this dark art, you'll have a federal trial like a Randy Weaver trial, for instance, where you've got an actual federal judge whose common sense is the salient trait of his personality, and you'll have a good jury. And that happened here, of course, in Idaho. And you have the same type of situation prevail with respect to the case you just described in Nevada. So that's why I was encouraged to see that there were, I believe, a dozen people here in Idaho who filed a class action suit demanding that they get their property returned to them. So if there is going to be some kind of a really good legal outcome here, it'd probably be here in Idaho that it would take place. If there's going to be a favorable outcome to the victims, I don't know that the people who have filed those suits are going to be in a financial position to pursue them for as long as will probably be necessary. But I certainly hope so, and they certainly have my support and my prayers. And I promise to look into this and let you know what I find out about it, because this is something that I think is of transcendent importance.
Well, if the federal government gets away with that, why, no man's life or property or family really are safe. And we have to understand that the great controversy down throughout all time has been the controversy of those within government who want to control the masses and the people who want to be free. And,
yeah,
of course, the thing is that is coming to a climax, I think, in the not-too-distant future, as the whole very structure of our federal authority begins to crumble. They're not going to have the money. They're going bankrupt. The monetary system, once it begins to crumble, that takes away the ability, of course, of the government to bribe people to do dishonest things. And when we get through this, there's going to be one of two outcomes. Either we will restore our freedom, or we'll be living as total slaves in a slave state, a socialist state.
That's one reason why this whole racket called civil asset forfeiture is so important. This is a form of permission that the government has given to police agencies to become robbers as a way of developing their own independent source of revenue to spend on all the toys that the government is just so eager to get into the hands of local police. I mean, through the Pentagon's LESO program, through the various programs that are sort of subsidiaries of the special forces programs, the local police can get anything they want, up to and including attack helicopters supplied by the taxpayers. And if they want, you can have a situation. I can actually see this happening in the not terribly distant future, where at least some police departments can be financially autonomous from the local communities that they police. You know, between subsidies through the Pentagon, through the Department of Homeland Security, through burn grants and other Justice Department counter-narcotics programs, and through asset forfeiture, I honestly believe that there are some police agencies, most likely in relatively small towns in Texas, that are going to be completely independent and secure financially. They won't need to be going to the municipal governments and the state governments for financial support. They'll be pretty much like the conditory after the 30 years' war in Europe. They'll just be living off the land and menacing and rampaging at whim. That's the sort of situation where I can see happening, or sort of situation I can see evolving as this financial collapse accelerates and deepens. And I really think that unless there's something done very quickly to arrest and reverse this, we're going to end up in a situation where our supposed protectors are going to be the most important predators we could confront. I know all the signs are there that this is happening right now. It's happening in real time. It's not a hypothetical at all.
Well, we're out of time. I certainly appreciate your commentary. I think you're absolutely accurate. Look at what's happening in New Mexico there. In Mexico, where the police now are being hunted down by the criminals. Maybe, let's hope that never happens here in the United States. We'll be back in just a moment.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. you're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hey, Bonnie, no more pickpocketing for us. I have an easier way we can steal people's credit cards without them even knowing they've been robbed.
How so, Clyde?
I have this RFID reader I picked up on the internet. Just by waving it near you, I can skim your credit card information while your cards are still in your purse. Just watch.
Hey, look, that's my info on the screen. You gotta be kidding me.
Nope. With 50 million credit cards with hidden RFID chips, I figure we'll make a fortune, as long as people don't hear about Identity Stronghold.
Why, what's Identity Stronghold?
They make the secure sleeve. When people keep their credit cards in the shielded secure sleeve, I can't read them.
Do a lot of people already know about the secure sleeve?
No way. Most people don't realize they even have chips in their credit cards and passports.
Clyde, we should get some of those secure sleeves.
I already got some. I also got some to fit our passports. Identity Stronghold has secure sleeves for sale right on the internet at IDStronghold.com.
IDStronghold.com?
Right. Or you can call them at 1-800-610-2770.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with William Grigg. Now, we do carry his book, Liberty and Eclipse. That's Liberty and Eclipse. It goes into the planned police state here. We also have a talk on the planned police state, and we recommend it to you, that the planned police state. But you need to get the syllabus with that, because, of course, you can't understand anything going on today unless you understand the spiritual forces which energize the people who are moving us towards this police state. And we simply quote from them. You'll actually see some of their documents in our material. Again, the number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have, of course, carrying a new video by Richard Gage of the Architects and Engineers for 911 Truth. It's called Blueprint for Tyranny. That's Blueprint for Tyranny. We certainly recommend people should get that four-tape set, like DVD. And then, of course, if you'd like to know why the buildings came down, why, of course, we have a four-tape or four-CD set, why did the buildings come down? Why did the buildings come down? Well, just go to our website at radioliberty.com and pull down our section on other videos. That's other videos. And look for the clip there, which goes into the destruction of Building 7, the controlled demolition of Building 7. And you can just link to it on your computer and watch it and understand that Building 7 was a controlled demolition. Well, we have a four-tape set that says that. You can see it with your own eyes on this excellent DVD, which actually came out of Italy. And then, of course, we have other DVDs. We have a 911 mystery. We have In Plain Sight. We have the Ripple Effect. All of these are available from Radio Liberty. And, of course, what you need to do is get them into other people's hands so they can understand what happened on September 11th. Certainly was a controlled demolition, and it was a controlled demolition. That means that they murdered. Who are they? Well, let's take you to a book. We carry it. It's called See No Evil by Robert Baer. And Robert Baer was a CIA agent. The book had actually cleared CIA intelligence before he could print it. And there in the preface, he quotes one of the highest-ranking CIA officials who said off the record that when the dust finally clears, the American people will realize what happened on September 11th was not an intelligence failure. Pardon me. It was an intelligence triumph. It was a triumph.
and 3,000 Americans died. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with organized evil. That's why you need to hear my talk on the forbidden secret. That's the forbidden secret. And then, of course, that comes with the syllabus. We have our pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. There really is an occult hierarchy that rules the world. And they're behind the people of wealth. They're behind the people who control the great tax-exempt foundations. They're the power behind the great banking houses of the world. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in the spiritual war. Well, anyway, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. If you want to understand the strange weather we're having, you need to get our fourth tape set on weather modification. You need to get the DVD, Bob Fletcher's DVD on weather modification. You need to get the book we have on weather warfare by Jerry Smith. You have to understand HAARP. We carry the book, HAARP, the ultimate weapon of the conspiracy. We carry two four-seat tape sets on HAARP. We have this information. We have two four tape sets on chemtrails, which, of course, are not imaginary. They're really very real. But they cannot let the American people understand that they are really engaged in weather modification and creating storms and droughts throughout the world. What a powerful weapon to have. And it could be used for good, but it's not being used for good. It's being used by the evil people who are in control. And if you don't know who they are, you need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. The Brotherhood of Darkness, and then, of course, the CD or DVD that comes with that. Get the information, and then tell others and help us to get the truth out while there's still time. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as trimethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body